Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. I'm so glad that you're here. I want to talk to you about faith and the testing of faith. And Lord willing, in Jesus' name, this will end the five-week sermon that has lasted 15 weeks. About the realities of the kingdom. Those realities about being scripture-fed, spirit-led, love-motivated, grace-empowered, and faith-activated are crucial to your life. You need to be a person that is scripture-fed, spirit-led, love-motivated, grace-empowered, and faith-activated. And if you take serious the teachings that we've gone through and begin to apply them to your life little by little, then you will begin to grow and you will begin to increase. And today I want to talk about, last week we talked about the victory of faith, and today I want to talk about the testing of faith. And I want to first show, we know that we are to be living examples. See, your opinion is not going to change anybody, but your example will. And so we want to make sure that we are living examples, that we walk what, you know, the talk. And yeah, thank you for taking that. That we walk out what we say. We practice what we preach. That our life is a blueprint. Our life is a living testimony of the things that we believe. And it just begins to, you begin to be a light maybe in a dark place. And for some of you, I just even sensed this morning. For some of you, you're the first one in generations in your family that is being a godly blueprint. That even desires to be a godly blueprint. And I'm not trying to speak bad about other generations or whatever, but sometimes families are just in the bondage of being cursed and just being in darkness and just being in bondage after bondage after bondage, and they can't seem to break free from that. But some of you in this room, because of your faith, and you saying, you know what, I want something different for me and my children. I want, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, that I want something different, that you are breaking things, you are transitioning things, you are changing things, and your faith will outlive you. And your faith will make an impact, not just in your life, but in generations to come. And so with that in mind, I want to read about one of the best examples of faith besides Jesus. Jesus is the example of faith, but He made a covenant with a man. God made a covenant with a man named Abraham. And if you look in your Bible in Romans chapter 4, this should be really familiar to you. And it's going to be hard for me not to jump all around Romans chapter 4 because, man, it's just good stuff. But I want to stay on task and get to a specific point this morning. But I want to start with an example of faith. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16. And we'll probably just read through 21. I've given myself a little bit of a leash there so I don't go crazy because I love Romans chapter 4. So Romans chapter 4, verse 16 is where we'll start. When you got it, say got it. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. And you notice in Scripture, faith and grace, see, I just always got to talk. Faith and grace are always connected. That it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's because God made a covenant with him years ago. I don't have time to explain all this, but what he's saying is it's a righteousness by faith. It's not a righteousness by works, you doing and earning righteousness from God. It's a righteousness by faith. And it says in verse 17, as it is written, this is God speaking from the Old Testament, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, meaning God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You know why God does that? Because he operates in faith. So he calls those things. He calls those things that do not currently exist as though they did. You're a father of many nations. Abraham's like, I don't even have a child. So God calls by faith. He releases a word of faith, and that word of faith is a seed to bring about the very thing that you say doesn't exist, but God says it does. It might be in seed form, and I'm sowing it into your family, into your field to make it come, you know, to full harvest. God right now is speaking words to some of you that you think it can't be true. This promise, this thing cannot be true, but God's speaking it to you in seed form, and he needs you to believe him, to partner with him, so that you can be the field that his promise produces. But you got to be able to walk by faith. And this example of faith, look at this example of faith. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. And underline that phrase. If you got a Bible, you can write in. Underline that phrase. According to what was spoken. Faith is always according to what God spoke. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So it's always according to what, it's not according to what they spoke. It's not even according to what you speak. It's according to what he speaks. So when you take your mouth and align it with his word, put his word in your mouth and you say what he says with the heart in which he says it, that's agreement. And that faith agreement will change your life. And then you become that living example. But you got to, contrary to hope, you got to believe in hope. And that you'll be a father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. You know it's possible to be weak in faith? Matter of fact, tell your neighbor, say, don't be weak in faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise. He did not waver back and forth at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he, meaning God, had promised, he was also able to perform. So this, and the rest is really good, but this example of faith I want you to understand and get right now is that if God speaks it, he means it. And he's speaking it to a purpose. And when he speaks, he's sowing it. He's sowing it. And so the sower is sowing in faith, but the hearers need to hear in faith. And Abraham heard in faith. He didn't consider and focus on the natural things and all the reasons why this won't work. See, some of y'all, you hear something, the first thing you do is all the reasons why it won't work. And you call it discernment, but it's really unbelief. So what has to happen is you come into this realm of saying, okay, God, I believe you. I believe you. I trust you at your word. And now if there's things we got to walk through, let's talk about that. But you start from a place of belief and faith, being fully persuaded. If God spoke it, he's able to perform it. You know, God is speaking faith to us that will not be fulfilled in your lifetime. Because God is above us. He's beyond us. He's generational in what he does. So you should be having faith. You should be having faith as a carrier and a breeder for another generation. You should be believing the promises of God at least four generations deep. And yet we struggle disbelieving for our generation. And so we need to walk by faith. And so what I want you to see this, I want to talk about the testing of faith, because I want you to pass the test. Matter of fact, nudge your other neighbor and say, pass the test. I want you to pass the test. So let's look at these scriptures. I have it in the Amplified, all on your notes. So you stay with me on your notes and we'll move through this and get to some of the main point. So James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance. That's that hoopamone Danny was talking about. I almost said hoopananny, but it's hoopamone. Leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace, and let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you, may be perfect, meaning mature and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. What if the entire church was developed in faith at your level? That could be a good thing or a bad thing. But we need to develop our faith if we're going to be people who walk by faith. And to develop your faith, you have to have testings of your faith, so that you develop your faith. What I want you to notice is the two words in that, the two bolded, you know, phrases, various trials and the testing of your faith. I want you to understand the difference with that. So number one on your notes, various trials. There's the Greek, there's a Strong's number right there and the Greek word that speaks to various trials right there on your notes. And what that various trials means, it means temptations, testings, afflictions, and adversities. Trials and tribulations. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that's what various trials speaks to. And the source of the various trials is not God. The source of the various trials is your flesh, this fallen world that we live in, and Satan. So you need to get that, because when you are, if you want to pass the test of faith so that your life and your family can be an example of faith for generations to come, if that's your heartbeat, then you listen up, because I'm talking to you. If you want that to happen in your life, then you pass the test in the middle of trials and tribulations and temptations. And in order to pass the test, you have to realize that none of that junk came from God. So you don't come into partnership with it. You don't come into agreement. Man, this happens every year. Whatever the trial is, whatever the temptations. We come into agreement with stuff we don't even realize how we do it. We come into agreement. We almost expect it. Our expectation is more in the various trials than it is with the testing of our faith and what God is doing in our life. And so we come into agreement with these things. Trials are something you go through. The valley of the shadow of death is something you go through. It's not your destination. It's not your purpose. You prevail through it. You prevail past it. You say, yeah, but what if the trial takes my life? Then you prevail past it all the way to the throne of God in heaven, and you let your testimony of faith, that you even died in faith, outlive your life and glorify Jesus. And so I want you to know it's not from him. And a couple scriptures that you see the same word of various trials. You see it in Matthew 6:13. Do not lead us into temptation. That's the Lord's Prayer. It's talking about, Lord, don't lead us into temptation, because God doesn't lead you into temptation. And then the other one, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. See, it's one thing to be tempted, but you don't enter into it. You enter into it because you come into agreement with it. You expect it. This always happens to me. This always happens. If I'm going to start a new relationship, this always happens. If I get some money, this always happens. I get a job, this always happens. Come out of agreement with your various trials, because that's your flesh lying to you. That's this world and the dark world system that's not submitted to Christ lying to you. Or it's Satan lying to you. And don't come into agreement with it. So you will face various trials, persecutions, sufferings. You'll face all that stuff. But you got to realize that even the sufferings of Christ and walking through that, it's to come out the other side victorious. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation. All these words, temptation, is that same word for various trials. And they don't come from God. I've heard people teach this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And what that means is outlast it and overcome on the other side. Walk in victory. It doesn't mean step into agreement with it and accept it and I'll just endure this to glorify Jesus. No. You can glorify Jesus going through a difficult circumstance, but you do not accept it as that's God's will for your life, because it's not God's will for your life. It's not God's will for your life that you are sick. It is not God's will for your life to live in sin. It is not God's will for your life to be broke. It's not. It's not. Do you go through seasons of struggle? Yes, but you go through them in faith. And sometimes you think the reason I'm going through this is because it's somebody else's problem. No, sometimes you go through it because maybe you're just walking in a little bit of ignorance. And you need to make some adjustments in your stewardship. And maybe your activities are opening the door for the enemy to come in and work his will. But then you blame God, saying, this is God's will. This is just, well, he wants to teach me something through the... No. He's not the author of the various trials. He is the author of the testing of your faith, which is the second one, the testing of your faith. And that word, I'm quoting right from James 1, verse 3. Be assured that the testing of your faith, so that phrase, the testing of your faith, you see the Strong's number right there and the Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce that. You just work on that yourself. And here's what it means. That which is approved and found genuine after testing. So it's literally a proving of. It's a demonstration of. It's something that, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. It's like God's confidence in saying, I'm giving this test because I know victory is imminent. And I'm giving the test for promotion. See, the enemy gives the various trials for demotion and confusion. God will allow the test. God will provide a test for promotion and for clarity. Sometimes you got to have a test just to affirm and confirm for yourself that you are in agreement with God and you can whoop this Goliath if you need to. And then you have multiple tests and you can be David, like just like the lion and the bear. Then I look at this Goliath. It ain't nothing but a test. And I'm coming in agreement with God. And not only does God got this, but God and I have this. And I'm going to whoop this giant because God's going to help me. And because God is authorizing this. You can't put faith in something God is not authorizing. That's your will, not God's will. But you just have to understand that this testing of your faith is the approving and being found genuine, meaning this thing is, it's proving it. So it stands fast and it's done. It's a testimony. It's complete. It's done. And it's a testimony and a trophy of faith to you, to God, to the devil, to say, listen, God is victorious. It is simply invoking the victory that Jesus already won again and again and again and again. Every single time you are tempted and you overcome the temptation and you make the trial, you turn the trial by faith, you turn the trial that the enemy meant for evil, you turn it into a testing of faith and say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to agree with God. And I'm going to partner with God. And you do that. And your faith goes to work. Then your agreement with God and taking this various trial and turning it into a testing of faith brings promotion when the enemy meant to bring demotion. Brings clarity when the enemy tried to bring confusion. Brings blessing when the enemy was trying to curse. And you live that way. You live that way. What will happen years and years and years, the enemy will regret the years he tried to various trial you to death. Because God can take every various trial and turn it into a testing of faith. But the enemy will take every testing of faith and turn it into a trial. You got to determine which one you're going to enter into agreement with. And you got to pass the test. You got to pass the test because the source of the testing is God. And if you look over on the back page, just keep reading. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who steadfast under trial. Now that's that same word, various trial, under trial, and perseveres when tempted. That same word. And the devil is the author. For when he has passed the test and been approved, now that's number two. That's why I have a two there in parentheses. That's the second one. So in this verse, we have both represented again. You have be steadfast under trial and persevere when tempted, for then when you have passed the test. So the first two words, trial and temptation, are the enemy's part, and the passing of the test is God's part. And so you notice these two are together in different scriptures. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I just wanted you to see that if you're going through a trial and you're going through a temptation, you need to get your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And you by obedience and submission and surrender to God, refocusing on Him, what can happen is whatever trial you're in, you can end it more quickly by turning it into a testing of faith. The enemy will prolong a testing of faith by turning it into a trial, if you let him. So we've got to walk by faith, not by sight. And the whole rest of the chapter in James, you can read that on your own. Look down to 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. It says, in this you rejoice greatly that even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is the same thing as a testing of your faith, it's that same Greek word, that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though it is tested, that's connected to that word of God being the source and the testing of your faith, and purified by fire, may be found to the result to result in your praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we see it again. You're going through various trials. But the various trials, by faith, we can turn them into a testing of faith. Just like the enemy can turn a testing of faith into a various trial. But it depends on who are you going to come in agreement with. What are you going to come in agreement with? Telling you, you gotta understand this. So here's what I want to show. And as I read this part, I want one volunteer, someone who's like, I want to grow in faith. Come on up on stage. Just one volunteer says, I want to grow in faith. Okay. Come on up, just stand right next to me. I'll get in the gear in a second with you. So look on your notes, Luke 22, 31 through 32. Remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to read this to you, explain something, then I want to show you something, and then I'll get out of your way. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, you know, he doesn't say it twice, he said it once. It was written twice so that you understand he said it once with passion. He didn't say, Simon, Simon, he said, Simon! When God wants to get your attention, He doesn't give you sickness. When God wants to get your attention, He doesn't give you various trials. When God wants to get your attention, He calls your name. Simon, listen, because Peter sometimes wouldn't listen. Y'all know somebody like that? Satan has, and listen to how it is amplified because it matches the Greek. Satan has demanded permission to sift you. See, some of your Bibles say Satan asked, like, hey, excuse me, Jesus, I'm asking. No, Satan stepped up and demanded permission to sift Peter, which tells me that Peter had done stuff to give Satan an open door and partnered or agreed with different elements of the flesh or sin or something that gave the enemy a right to come in with authority to say, I demand to sift this person. See, when you sin, God doesn't stop loving you. God doesn't even become angry with you. When you sin, you open the door for the enemy to work his will in your life instead of God's will in your life. And so Satan comes and demanded. See, Satan understands authority. So he comes in and he demands, I'm gonna mess this joker up. I'm coming in. And Jesus couldn't even stop Satan from sifting him because Satan had a right, and that's why he demanded. When you sin, you agree with the enemy and you open a door. He said, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. And that once you have turned back to me, strengthen and support your brothers in faith. And notice the sifting is all of you. Because Satan never just is after one person. See, that's true about God and Satan. They're never after just one person. They start with one to jump to many. And so when you disobey God, your disobedience will go on to generations. And when you obey God, your obedience will go on to generations. Some of the people being baptized today are shutting down generational curses and starting generational blessings. Your agreement is powerful. My gosh. So he said, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. And then he says, when you return to me, Jesus is already speaking faith. Because Peter, there was no guarantee Peter was going to return to him. Jesus, in the middle of the trial, was already speaking faith. He was already saying, when you return to me, like I believe in you, when I believe in your confidence in me, when you return to me and you're strengthened in faith, go strengthen other people. Because your faith is never just meant for you. Go strengthen these other people. So that word sift, you see the Strong's number and the word, I can't even pronounce that word. It means this, prove by trials, and it means to shake and to separate. So here's what I want you to see. The enemy is trying to shake and separate you from Jesus. Who is Jesus? The author and finisher of your faith. And Satan is trying to shake you to break the faith connection. And if he breaks the faith connection, you're through. Because everything in the kingdom of God is by grace through faith. And so I need somebody to play the devil up here. Let's see. Chris Taylor, come on up. Here, come over here. I want to show you something. I told you I'd get you, boy. Come on up, smoky horns. Come on up. No, hey, you come over here. You'll be the disciple. Not you, go over there. You stand right here. Okay? So I'm Jesus. This is a disciple. That's the Antichrist. The devil. The defeated foe. Look at him. So watch this. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So he's at the beginning and at the end. So what he does is he comes and from his word, he speaks a word. And he says, go to the other side. Let's try this again. Come back over here. The devil's sleeping.
He was staring.
I never thought I'd say this. Chris, be a better devil. Go to the other side. Okay. But hang on a second, devil. You're taking her right where I said to go. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, there you go. Now listen, he's got his arm around her. He's sitting there talking to her, saying all this kind of stuff, whatever. Don't cuss, Chris. He's saying all this stuff, doing whatever. But so the problem is, where's her attention right now? Well, no, you've been talking to him. You've been looking at him. He doesn't have any authority unless you give it. So come back over here. Let's do this again. No.
He had a hold on me.
So what? Get a hold on me. Let me show you how to do this. Get a hold on. Chris. I don't want to have to see my chiropractor tomorrow. Okay. So he got a hold on me, but in Christ, he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. But what happens, you get close to him, you start feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't go. I can't break it. Addiction is so hard. Addiction ain't hard to break.
Right.
It's not. Unless you still want to do it. But if you're done, it's done. And so anytime you feel that way, and he's even saying amen. Anytime you feel that way, you need to remember who you are in Christ and be like, no, and you need to refocus back to Christ. So Chris, you come stand right here. So I'm saying we go to the other side. Okay. So he says, no, you ain't going to that side. You ain't going over there. Now what you say to him now is what matters most. You got a choice. You can either say what he's saying to you, say your own fear because the various trial is now giving you a false faith. Or you can say what I said. And when you say what I said with the heartbeat in which I said it, what I said to you, you say to him. And what I say to you. See, that's why discipleship is so important. You're going to the other side.
Okay. You're going to the other side. That's what you said.
I know, so let me explain this just a little bit, because that's a valid point. It's a valid point. Except you're not evangelizing the devil to bring him into the promised land. What you're doing is, who did I say that to?
Me.
Okay, so the interpretation is you're going to the other side. So any obstacle in your way. Yeah, but you don't do it with your strength. You do it with your authority, and your authority is something I gave you. Amen. And so come over here, and let me tell you what I said to him. Get behind me.
Get behind
me. No, wait, let's just have a little fun. So he says, no, I don't want to do that. Now, look, you use my authority in my name. And when you do that and he doesn't move.
Okay.
Get behind us. Get. Because look, when she stays in agreement with me, then my authority activates. If she gets fearful and gets in agreement with him, she'll separate herself from me because of the shaking. And she'll be sifted into a false agreement with the enemy, wondering why she never made it to the other side, thinking it's my fault. Y'all can go sit down. Everyone who's being baptized, the worship team, come on up.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.